All right. Well, I really wasn't expecting this. I was more looking for later, maybe. But anyway, here it comes. It's, I appreciate it. I'll probably knock that off. I always do.
Okay, I'll sit it down here.
So. All right, that'd be better. If y'all want to get your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4, I'm usually a lot more prepared than I will be today, but maybe I'll be shorter that way. I woke up here recently and realized that I'm one of the older guys now. But then when I realized that, I got to thinking about what all, that I've learned. I see these young missionaries and all, and about 33 years ago, I was a young missionary.
Yes, sir.
I had plans. I had a plan, and I had lots of zeal. And do you know what happened to my plan? Well, God just changed my plan.
Right.
And, it's all right to have a plan. I'm not going to promote ignorance this morning or unpreparedness. I think we ought to prepare.
Amen.
I don't believe we ought to be ignorant. I believe we ought to study.
Right.
I believe we ought to get help wherever we can get help.
Yes,
counsel, wisdom.
Right.
But you better, this whole message this morning, it's about following Jesus.
Amen.
That's number one. And this, all the songs, everything, yep. Just absolutely led right up to what I'm going to preach about this morning.
Amen.
You better not have your plans as number one. You better follow Jesus. That's
right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes.
He'll take care of everything.
Amen.
Let's read some scripture here. And it may be a little awkward as I try to find my place and stuff, but in Matthew chapter 4, I've got it written down here, 4:19. Here we go. Let's go back to verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Well, that wasn't the real deal. That was just the beginning.
Right.
Later we find old Peter and a bag of fishing again.
Yes.
And then again.
Yes.
Fishing again. But then let's go on and read here. And they straightway left their nets, followed him, verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs this morning. Thank you for the blessings. It's been a blessing to be here. The preaching, the singing, and Lord, the friends in this place, the fellowship, we thank you for. Please bless now your word, our hearts. I pray you'd give me a mind that's clear enough to think and a tongue that's clear, loose enough to speak. Please help, Lord, I pray. And this simple message, I pray, would not be forgotten in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, follow me. Well, now, when you're following somebody, that means he's in front and
right.
You're behind.
That's right.
That don't mean you're out in front figuring everything out and then he's coming along behind you fixing everything so it'll work out like you want it to work out.
Right.
And you know, this is a missions conference and going to a mission field is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal in your life.
Yes.
It's one thing to be here among friends and like-minded people and preach about Jesus, and we all know we agree mostly, especially when it comes to him.
Right.
We can talk about him, and everybody will shout it out, but it's a whole lot different when you're far away
right.
And alone,
yep.
And those people don't even understand what you're talking about.
Right.
They have no idea. Never heard, never knew anybody like you.
Right.
And so you need to make some preparation. Number one, preparation. You need to learn to follow Jesus. And that don't go just for missionaries. That's for all of us. As pastors, as children, as teenagers, that's everybody. Our Christian life is about following Him. You ever look at how many times He said that in the New Testament? In the Gospels? Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. He kept telling them, follow me. Took a long time to get that across to old Peter and the rest of them. We're behind Him, following. We don't make plans and then beg God to join us. Or expect God to fulfill our plans. Make happen what we want to happen. We got visions and we got dreams about what we want in the future and what we want to do for God. But it's God that does it all. It's not us. All we are is a vessel. We're an instrument. We're a member that He can take and do and use for His glory. But boy, it takes a lot to get us into the place where He can do that.
Yes.
Here's the problem. We keep running back out in front. We've always got a plan.
Yes.
Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That's exactly what He meant, too.
Right.
But we just keep on thinking
that
we can. We can do something without Him. We keep on making our plans, and we keep on forging ahead. First thing you know, we don't even know where He is. And we run into messes. And all of the problems would be eliminated, almost all of them, in the churches and in our lives, if we just follow Christ instead of running ahead. Going back to our ways. It's funny that the Lord chose fishermen. At least four of the disciples were fishermen by trade. Well, now I'm not much of a fisherman. When I was a kid, I fished all the time. But I know a lot of fishermen, and I hear their talk, and I know how they think. And if a guy likes to fish, he thinks he knows how to do it.
Yeah.
It's like you said last night, he's fishing before he gets the boat in the water. And they know where to fish. They've all got their favorite spot where they can catch them fish. They know how, what kind of lure, what kind of hook, what kind of bait, what kind of rod. They got everything all figured out. And did you ever try to tell a fisherman that that's wrong and he ought to do it another way? He don't take it very well. Neither do we. I think that's part of the reason Jesus chose these and chose this as an example. He said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. That's in Mark chapter 1, I believe it is. Mark chapter 1. If you want to turn over there with me. Mark chapter 1, we'll read that too. That'll just kind of go along with this. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with hired servants and went after him. So there's the same story, same account, just a different account of the same story. And then in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, let's read that real quick. Luke chapter 5, let's read verses 1 through 10. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which is Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now in verse 4, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. Now, here's Jesus telling a fisherman how to fish. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. It ain't going to do no good. We've already fished all the spots that had fish in them and we didn't get any. So ain't no use trying, but since if you really want us to, we will. Well, we know what happened.
Yep.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. That's another thing about fishermen. They loathe to throw a fish back once they catch it. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus is teaching them a lesson, and we miss it most of the time. He said, "You may know how to fish, but I'm going to teach you how to fish men."
Right.
And it doesn't work the same way.
Right.
It doesn't work like you don't catch men in the places you think you're going to catch them in.
Right.
You don't catch them with the baits you think you're going to catch them with. You don't catch them with the lures and with your skill and with your intellect and with your arguing and debating and persuading. That's not how you do it. In fact, you don't even do it at all. I do it. And we never learn that. Why does it take a lifetime to learn that? Why do we have to fail and make messes before we own up to the fact that without him, I can do nothing. I mean, if you've learned that this morning, how long did it take you to learn that? I see some other gray heads in here, and I'll bet you they'd say amen to what I'm saying to you. You learn the hard way so many times. But here it is right here. He said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you to become fishermen of men. Now, neither he, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase."
Right.
It was a good day in my life when I learned that all the pressure through all of the years and all of the peer pressure, really, what it is, to produce, that wasn't what God wanted from me.
Right.
You know, when a missionary comes to our church, what I'm looking for is I'm looking to see if he's really following Christ.
Yeah.
Or if he's got a plan and he intends to execute it, regardless of what happens. There was a young guy come in our part of the country up there a few years ago, and he was going to start a church, and he had it all planned out. He said, "Within a month, we're going to have 100 people." And he was going to make it happen no matter what he had to do.
Right.
Well, you can think what you want, but here's what I think. I don't think God's got anything to do with that.
Right.
Jesus, he's not following Jesus. We're not following Jesus. We got that kind of attitude and plan. Now, you're going to the mission field, or if you're going to start a church, you ought to have some kind of a framework to work with.
Sure.
I'm not promoting just selling everything, taking off to... Like this guy I knew that went to India, bought him a little fold-up bicycle, and he just got him a ticket to India and went over there and jumped off the plane, unfolded his bicycle, and took off. Well, wasn't long till he's in jail. And he got in some awful messes, and I don't know that he did any good. Maybe he did, I don't know. But I'm not promoting that kind of mission work. We shouldn't go about it, stupid. We ought to have a plan to go by, but you sure better put that plan secondary to Christ. Because
right.
I can promise you this, he is going to change your plan.
That's right.
All the people I've known through the years, including myself, I would have never in a million years thought that I'd be where I'm at right now,
right.
Doing what I'm doing right
yeah.
now. That is not what I wanted.
Right.
That wasn't what I planned.
Yeah.
That's not where I had my sights set.
Right.
But God.
Yeah, man.
And the thing about it is, it's so much better than what I had planned. It's so much, I see so much more accomplished through what he's done than anything I ever did. I just happened to be around to watch it, that's all. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. It's God that giveth the increase. We preach, yes. Why he calls men to preach.
Sure.
We go to the mission field because that's what God calls men to go to the mission field. But it's God that gives the increase.
Right.
No matter what you do. And you're not going to win anybody to God through all of the physical means and projects and whatever you call it, campaigns and all of that. It happens right down on the ground, on individual level. That's where the kingdom of God works.
Right.
It's not these great big shows and big promotions. Right. It's you and the people that God puts across your path every day.
Amen.
Yeah. The only good that I can see, really, that I did on the mission field, or I saw happen on the mission field, we started a church and built a church and all of that, but it's gone now. But I still hear from, communicate with our neighbors.
Amen.
That live by us. They were little children then, and they still stay in contact with us.
Amen.
Because we knew them. They knew us. And somehow that left an impression on
Amen.
Them. The rest of it that I thought had to be done. You know, I had other missionaries tell me, you got to build a building in the first year or else they won't support you anymore. I said, well, I ain't going to do that. You know, what in the world? We ain't got no people.
Right.
What are we going to build a building for? But that's the way that it's promoted and planned.
Right.
Shame on us
right.
that the pastors encourage the yes. missionaries to fail
Amen.
When
Amen.
They get there. Because they've got to have a plan, and they've got to be aggressive, and they've got to have all these things laid out on the table. What are we going to do
yeah.
when we get there? Or else, nah, they don't know what they're doing. Read your history of the church. They've missed it every time with the missionaries through the years. Too old. Can't learn the language.
Yeah.
Not able to do it.
Yeah.
They're the ones that did it.
That's right. Amen.
Everybody's got their eyes on the young people. Well, the young people got strength and they got zeal. But if a pastor's not supposed to be a novice, why would you send a missionary to the field that's a novice? John 15, chapter 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's how it works. For without me, you can do nothing. That's just how it works. He's the vine. We're the branches. We abide in him. He abides in us. And that's what brings the fruit.
Amen.
It's not my intellect. It's not my Bible knowledge. It's not my ability or my charisma or my ability to communicate. Really. It's God. It's other people seeing God in us. For real. Not just put on. I know everybody, this is simple, but it's not so simple. Because it takes some people, lots of people, nearly a lifetime for this to finally soak in. That he is everything and I'm nothing.
Amen.
That he must increase and I must decrease.
Amen.
My life must be about him.
Amen.
And not the work. A lot of people worship their work.
Yep.
It becomes the most important thing. Well, is it your work? I guess it would be important to you. If it's my work, then it's pretty important to me. If it's God's work, then God can take care of it.
Amen.
And if God decides to just raise her to the ground, that's God's business. If
right.
it's his work.
That's right.
Mark chapter 10, verse 52. He said to old blind Bartimaeus, listen to this. He said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Did you catch that there?
Yeah.
Jesus said, go your way. Where'd he go? He followed Jesus.
Amen.
The maniac of Gadara, you know, when he was in his right mind and clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus, what did he want to do? He wanted to follow Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus said, you go back and tell your friends and your...
Yeah.
Folks, this is what great things the Lord has done for thee.
Amen.
You know, there's just so much here. Let's go to John chapter 21, and I won't be long. I'm going through this pretty quick. It's a simple message. You just got to keep hammering the same truth over and over.
Amen.
John 21, let's start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. There he is again, going back fishing again. Got his boat, got his net, he's going fishing. They say unto him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. You know, this is a repeating thing for these guys. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Yet. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Well, that should have given them away. That should have gave it away right there.
Right.
They've heard this before.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the last time. This is the last time I'm going to try to teach you this.
Right.
They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loveth, John, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. That's the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, somebody was paying attention. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. See there, they ain't giving them up. They're getting every one of them. They're getting them to the bank. Did you ever do that?
Yep.
We were fishing in a lake in Wyoming one time, and we got to using some bait that worked. And we throwed a line out there, and this big old trout got on that line, and he was a-fighting and had a little light line on her. Well, it took everybody. Everybody went to hollering, and I ran down there and jumped in the water because he was right at the bank, and if we didn't get him, he was getting away.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter if we got wet, whatever it took. We wasn't letting him get away. And we got him. I grabbed him like that and held him down till we got him out on the dirt. That's how it is when you're fishing and you catch something. These were 153. I don't know what that means. Maybe somebody else does. I've thought about it and studied about it, but I don't know. It's 153 great fishes.
Amen.
And they drug them out up on the bank. You know, when you catch a fish like that and you do it, you're proud of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You feel real good about yourself because you really accomplished something.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get somewhere to a meeting and tell everybody about what we did. No, Peter's out there swimming around naked.
Yep.
All right. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon. And it wasn't any of those 153 they caught.
Right.
And bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now the first time the net broke, see.
Yeah.
This time the net didn't break. They got them in. There's a lot of angles to take on this, but we're not going to do it. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Now none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So I'm not going to stop right there. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? These what? Did you ever wonder about what that? You think he's talking about the other disciples? I don't think so. I think he's talking about them 153 fish they just caught.
Yeah.
You love what you can accomplish more than what I can accomplish. I'm feeding you. These fish you're eating, I already had them on the fire here. You didn't catch them. You're eating bread and fish that you didn't do anything to get. Them 153 fish there, who knows whatever become of them.
Yeah.
I think it's because we want to be superstars.
Yeah.
Celebrities.
Yep.
God ain't got no celebrities.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
You think John the Baptist was a celebrity?
No.
No, he wasn't no celebrity. Not a guy like that.
Right.
Men do everything they can to make celebrities. I mean, we educate them in schools.
Yep.
So that they know how to do it without Christ.
Right.
Without His Spirit.
Yeah.
I had a guy tell me one time, another preacher, he told me, he earned a doctor's degree, and he told me, he said, Mike, I can sit down now and write out a sermon. And he said, God don't have to have anything to do with it.
Yep.
He said, that kind of scares me. I said, well, it ought to.
Amen.
What in the world? I don't want that ability. I don't ever want to get to that place.
Right.
Yeah. It has to be God. Christ in us. That's the hope of glory.
Right.
There's no way on a mission field or in a church that's pastored by any of you here that anybody's going to get to know the Lord, come to know the Lord, unless they first see Him in one of us.
Right.
It has to be a reality that we're following Christ and we're not just trying to build a great work for God.
Right.
I read a story one time, and it was like this. This guy went out fishing, and he finally caught a fish. Well, it was a big fish. And it was an impressive fish. He accomplished something. So he quit fishing and he just started going around to other churches telling everybody how he caught this fish. And that was his ministry from then on. Not catching fish, just telling about the fish he caught. You ever seen that?
I'm afraid so,
Right.
Yeah. Many that are first shall be last.
Right.
And the last shall be first.
Yep.
You know what man esteems. That which man esteems, I can't help it. Somebody help me here. It's abomination in the sight of God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we esteem highly. God counts it as abomination
a lot
of times. Follow Christ.
Amen.
It's the only thing that'll suffice when you get out alone. Have you ever, I've found out that if you just keep Him pretty well at the center of everything, boy, it just drives the devils away.
Amen.
Have you ever just sat down one time and just started writing the names of the Lord? Everything the Bible says about Him that calls Him, like Lord, Master, Emmanuel, Christ, Son of God,
Amen.
Son of Man, Day Spring from on High, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Messiah, the Word, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Door, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World, the Bright and Morning Star, the Second Adam, the Alpha and the Omega. I just sat down this morning and it just, there's so many more. My goodness. The only begotten of the Father, King of Kings, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Savior of man, the Redeemer, the Substitute, the Sacrifice for sin. He's the Head. He's the chief cornerstone, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the judge to whom all power is given in heaven and earth. And so without Him, we can do nothing. My advice to you this morning is don't try it. You'll be sorry. And you'll come right back around to this simple little truth. The first thing Jesus said when He called His disciples, follow me.
Amen.
Just get in line behind me.
Yep.
Oh, He does the work.
Yep.
He gives the increase.
Yep.
All we have to do is follow Him.
Amen.
You guys, when you go on the mission field, when you get there, if you're following Christ, He's already there before you get there.
Right.
Amen.
There's already a place. There's already a person. I believe it's all by divine appointment.
Amen.
And when I learned that years ago about witnessing to people and being a witness for Christ, boy, did that change everything for me. Instead of trying to pressure every person I met, I prayed for God to open doors.
Amen.
And you know what I found out? God opens doors.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I found out this. When God opens the door, He's been before. Yes. And I just followed Him in there. Everything's prepared.
Amen.
I mean, the fire is set. The meal is set.
Amen.
And they receive the Word of God.
Amen.
And there's power there.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God is working.
Amen.
And that is so much different
yes.
than me just making it happen
right.
with my plan
right.
that I've learned and rehearsed. And
yep.
in all things, He must have the preeminence. That's not only in the church, but everything in our life. Romans 11:36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Yes, sir. That's it. That's all I'm not going to just hammer and hammer. You get the message. Follow me, Jesus said. And make it real. When you, not just in here, when we all in here believe pretty much alike, so we can amen one another.
Amen.
And when you go out in the world, let your light so shine before men.
Amen.
It's amazing how they'll recognize you. Be a good witness in a restaurant. When you go and sit down to eat somewhere, be nice.
Yeah, amen.
Just be nice.
Amen.
Don't be weird. And don't be crazy, and don't be hateful to the poor people that are trying to wait on you. If you're following Christ, He's before you.
Amen.
You leave an impression on people.
Yep.
Make it a good one. And He'll bless it, and He'll give the increase. Amen. Thank you all.